Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. Yeah, and also you. Thank you. Okay. So today we are going to continue the sermon series, which is on Proverbs. It's part of our theme for this year and also for next year, which is on flourishing life. And we hope that whatever we share, they will be very impactful in your life so that we can all live flourishing life. Do you remember what flourishing life means? It means living well, okay, and going well, life led well, and also living happily. So three aspects, all right? So today, our topic will be on listening, okay? That even though we use the word listening, but it's also a collective term, okay? It means learning, all right? So it could mean all forms of information gathering. It could mean reading, if you referring to literature. It could mean watching. Nowadays, we do a lot of learning via watching videos, right? And also could just means listening in the form of, observing daily life, learning from mentors, learning from role models, and so on, all right? So even though all we will be, you will hear the words listening and so on, but keep in mind, when we say listening, we mean learning, all right? So, and of course, the topic of listening is a big, big topic in Proverbs, because Proverbs is all about gaining wisdom, becoming wise, and therefore the sages put a great emphasis on what is listening, the art of listening. The logic for it is very simple, because if you fail to listen, then you fail to learn. And if you cannot learn, well, then you can never become wise. And without wisdom, you may have life, but you will never have flourishing life. All right? So this is the key. And Proverbs also say that those who heed discipline, that means those who are willing to listen, to accept correction, they will show the way of life. That means they themselves become a role model for others to see how to live well. And whoever ignores correction, that means those who are unwilling to listen, they will lead others astray. When you become wise through listening, or when you, become foolish through not listening, it don't just affect you. What we see from this proverb is that it also affects those around you. Like breeds like, right? So the humble listener is a path of life, a model for others to follow. I believe this will be, therefore, the greatest motivation for listening in today's sermon. Why should we listen to today's sermon? The greatest motivation is that when we actually listen, when we actively pursue wisdom, it is the good that we'll bring to others around us. And the reverse is true. When you choose to stay foolish, you would inevitably become a bad influence to others as well. When you're foolish, you lead others astray. So today, I will be sharing on from Proverbs on the art of listening. And as Jesus say, those who have ears, let them hear. Now, the wise in heart accepts command, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. One of the main obstacles to listening is actually speaking. And on one hand, we understand, but speaking aids listening, right? So one person, you speak, you listen, you speak, you listen. It is this back and forth interaction of communication with others that you would learn, you will gain information, and that is true. But on the other hand, looking at the Proverbs, we understand, that speaking often becomes a hindrance to listening. Because in life, we can easily observe that there'll be many around us who speak without listening. Isn't it true? And even if the person is not speaking, but from the way the person is conversing with you, you know that the person is just waiting for you to stop speaking before he starts to speak, or she starts to speak. He is not really listening. We can observe this very easily. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. And so fools, they are only interested in expressing themselves, not listening. And so the first thing, all right, the first thing that differentiates the wise from the foolish is what? Is that the wise does not let their speaking get in the way of their listening. I say again, what differentiates the wise from the fools? it is that the wise do not let their speaking get in the way of their listening. Now, this is very easy for me to say, okay? But it sounds far more challenging than it sounds, right? Because most human beings actually prefer speaking over listening, right? Even though we know there are introverts who they will speak less because they are shy, or in many societies, maybe people do not have the opportunity to, you know, speak in public because of social settings. Like this is a social setting where I'm speaking, then all of you have to be listening, right? But it doesn't mean that, you know, staying quiet or staying silent means that you are keen listeners, right? Because maybe you are still, you know, considering chattering and rebutting everything that you are in your own mind, right? I don't know how any of you are really listening. Maybe you are just talking in your head. So now, I understand why there is this preference of speaking over listening. It's very human. Because why? Because speaking is how we project influence in this world, isn't it? This is how we feel secure about our existence. We must talk, then, you know, I speak, therefore I am. Speaking begins in infancy, right? The moment we cry out to the world for attention, pay attention to me, right? And you notice the reverse, which is at old age, sometimes when some people start to really fall silent, that is when you know they are actually withdrawing from the world. So we speak to feel important, we speak to, you know, have our say, literally. And even if nobody cares to listen, we speak in our mind, in protest, you know, even if you don't want to listen to me, I want to talk, right? Because we want to maintain this semblance of control over external influences. We speak to feel alive. We speak to feel in existence. Now, if speaking is so essential to our identity, so essential to our self-esteem, then how? This is the question. How do the wise manage to restrain their urge to speak and allow themselves to still listen? Let's think about this. How do the wise still manage to restrain their urge to speak in order to allow themselves to listen? How do they not let speaking get in the way? I imagine that actually the wiser you are, the more difficult it is, right? Because the more self-control it takes for you to restrain your desire to speak. Because, you know, you obviously know if you are wise, you have far more valuable things to say, right? How do you still, you know, restrain this urge? Proverbs 18 says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." This is what the wise do. They will seek it out. They will acquire knowledge. The answer to this is their intense hunger for knowledge. What makes a person wise is their intense hunger for knowledge. It's their desire to learn triumphs over their desire to influence. Yes, every one of us desires to influence through speaking. But for the wise, what makes a person wise is that they have this intense hunger for knowledge. Their desire to learn triumphs over their desire to influence. Of course, you can say that these two desires can be balanced. You can have both. Why can't you have both? Desire to learn, desire to influence. You can have both. They can be balanced. They can be complementary. But the wise is very mindful of this temptation of pride. Every one of us, you know, have this temptation to influence, to stay in control, to project our image upon the world. And so the wise know about this temptation, and he lets the desire to learn be dominant over the desire to influence. Why? Because the wise, in his hunger for knowledge, is far more fearful that he will fail to learn. The wise is fearful that he will no longer acquire knowledge. He is fearful that he will miss any opportunity to learn. And this is one, you see, he knows the true value of knowledge. So in the case of knowledge, it's okay to FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. Yeah, in the case of knowledge, it is okay to FOMO, all right? Hear it from me. So this is what it means to be wise. In our desperate desire to learn, we choose to be quiet and learn. In the fear that we may miss out anything that could be, you know, precious for life, knowledge. We choose to deliberately hold ourselves back from the urge to take control of a conversation by speaking. So imagine, this is sometimes, you know, this is what I tell myself, you know, shut up. Not now. Listen first. Learn. This is what I tell myself. Listen first. There is a real hunger for knowledge, and this is the distinctive trait of a wise man. Now, I'm not a wise man, but really, when I want to learn something, when I'm keen to listen, I tell myself, shut up, listen first. Proverbs 12 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates correction is stupid. When you have a real hunger for knowledge, imagine this, you can even love discipline, okay? You can even love correction from others. You'll be so hungry for knowledge that you're willing to listen to advice that may disagree with you. So you might wonder, is anyone so hungry for knowledge? So hungry for knowledge that you don't just, you know, accept correction, accept discipline, but actually that you love it, that you will actually appreciate it. Oh, I learned something. This seems like a tall order, right? Because most people want to be right. Nobody likes to be told that they are wrong. Everyone wants to feel right, to feel secure about, you know, their rightness. And society tells us that, you know, those who are wrong, these are the ones who are losers. So how? How do we go to be so hungry that we will actually, you know, yearn for knowledge, tell ourselves to shut up, tell ourselves to listen, tell ourselves to learn, tell ourselves to actually appreciate and cherish people who correct us, who give us good advice? How? What I want to do now is to really make a short detour here. Allow me to make a short detour here to really think about this paradigm shift that happens in education. And I believe this making this detour in talking about education, it helps us understand, maybe explain why sometimes we are not hungry for knowledge. And hopefully I will also explain how we can be hungry again. So this is my vow today. Make Jubilee hungry again, all right? So, because without this real hunger, you cannot have real listening. So how? Let's go make this detour right now. Now, what you must understand is that in the era of industrialization, education is really about, you know, how do we produce enough skilled workers in all our industries, you know, so that they can perform specialized tasks, make sure that there is minimal errors. I mean, in industrialization, this is what it means. Everybody who has a factory, you know, make sure that you have as few defects as possible. And it's the same mindset in the early education, right? Which is, you know, make sure, people who graduate from us, you know, people with as little defects as possible. Students have to acquire knowledge, go through testing, so that industries will know which are the ones, you know, that can be skilled enough to be qualified to, you know, work in the factories, in the industries. This is the mindset in the early days. So such an education system is really extremely efficient, transforming students into workers. Students into workers, students into workers. That is what early education is. But what we now understand is that the flip side of this is that learning therefore becomes a process to what? To just pass the QC, right? Pass exams. Like a product in a factory line, you know, just to make sure that, you know, good enough, pass, good enough, pass, good enough, pass. That becomes the flip side of this education process. And I believe this might really explain why many of us are no longer hungry for knowledge. Why? Because we are no longer keen to learn after school. There is this dread of testing as well, because, you know, you're just making sure I pass, I'm good enough, always telling me whether I'm good enough or not. And because of this, there is no real hunger for knowledge, unless you're telling me, oh, so I'm good enough to work in your factory, something like that. Proverbs 15 says something quite, I feel, insightful. He says, those who disregard discipline despise themselves. What does this mean? It means that those people who, don't tell me to improve, don't tell me to, you know, give me this advice, don't teach me this, don't tell me that. Those who rebuff criticism, maybe they do it out of a false sense of pride, but what it really is that you're holding yourself in contempt. You're despising yourself. Why? Because the one who refuses to learn is at some level unhappy with himself. He is unconsciously being self-destructive. Now you might wonder, why would a person be like that? I believe it's a result of what we call learned helplessness. Okay, that means that we actually learn to be helpless. We learn to be, I cannot do this. Frustrations from repeated failures in making the grade. You keep telling me I'm not good enough, forget it, I'll never be good enough. That is learned helplessness. You tell us, so it's intentionally self-destructive. Why should I change? Why should I learn more when I can never do it right? And this is how the hunger for knowledge is lost. So how? How do we transform this situation? What we learn now is that humans are not, I say again, we are not like finished products of an assembly line. We are not. It's not like, you know, you go through the entire education system, one by one, product A, B, C, D, we become finished products of an assembly line. No. Your worth is not determined by the exams. Your worth is determined by your journey afterwards. What happens after the exams? That is what matters. What do you do after the testing? That's what matters. Now we are in the information era. We are not in the industrialization era anymore. In the information era, we need entrepreneurs who keep on going after failures, after learning from their mistakes. We need workers who pursue lifelong learning. Your learning doesn't end just, you know, at school. And most of all, we need students who are self-motivated to learn, to research on their own. Now you have tons of knowledge out there. But are you self-motivated to learn? Are you willing to pick yourself up? I want to learn. I want to research. I want to know more. Are you like that? This is what we need now. So education is shifting, you know, away from the industrialization stage, you know, churning out skilled workers. We are shifting towards what many students now know as the growth mindset. Telling you that testing is not a measurement of your worth, but testing is really helping you to identify areas of self-improvement. And so I believe this is how we can recover this hunger for knowledge, by inculcating this skill mindset. Inculcating this growth mindset. Proverbs 17 says, a rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes a fool. What does that mean? That means that if it's a discerning person, you just scold him one time, he'll be like, thank you for scolding me, right? A rebuke impresses a discerning person. But if it's a fool, even if you beat and beat and beat 100 lashes, the fool is like, huh, what's going on? Okay, like that. A rebuke comes down harder on this perceptive person. Who is this perceptive person? Obviously, it's the person with the growth mindset, right? It is felt more acutely because he has the sensitivity to learn from his mistake. I see, okay. The growth mindset is such that it's okay to be wrong. I say again, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to make mistakes. Why? Because the growth mindset is that this is part and parcel of the learning process. This is part and parcel process of how to become better. A wise person is okay, is fine with being tested. Why? Because when you are wrong and you are corrected, you learn. The wise person, I say again, has this hunger for learning, hunger for knowledge. Correction, discipline, all this becomes what? Positive avenues to grow and learn. And we can learn. Listen to advice and accept discipline. In the end, you will be counted among the wise. The wise are the ones who know that it is about the journey and not just, you know, the testing in between. And I believe this is where teachers and parents play a very important role to reinforce this growth mindset. The Chinese have a saying, which is good advice is like bitter medicine, you know, 良药苦口利于病, right? 忠言逆耳利于行, which means that, you know, those really good advice that we can learn from, these are the bitter medicine, right? Why should I take bitter medicine? Anybody a big fan of bitter medicine? I know some people are quite quirky. They like the herbal bitter medicine. Okay, but putting those people aside, most people don't want to take bitter medicine, right? Why? Why do you take bitter medicine? Why? Very simple, ma. Because I know that I got better after I took the medicine, right? Oh, yeah. The last time when I was sick, I took the bitter medicine, I got better. So it's the same, right? When you know that you can get better after taking it, will you take it? Yes, you would, right? It's in the same way when you say, the last time I took this, I got better. The last time I did this, I got better. The last time I listened to this, I got better. The last time I hear from this guy, I got better. What would you do? You will accept correction and discipline. You will take the bitter medicine. And indeed, you will always become better and better. Now, let me be clear about this. Okay, now that we know that our brain, all of our brain are so plastic, we can always get better. We can always get better. As long as you continue to learn and to listen. Now, there is no denial. I'm not putting this as easy. I'm not saying listening and learning is easy. No, it is hard work. There is no denial that the process of learning takes grit, takes resilience. Not easy. But what matters is the faith that change is possible. This is the growth mindset. The belief that as long as I continue on, I will get better. No matter how bitter this is, I will get better. As long as you have this faith, then you will grow. Then you will learn. Then you'll be hungry for knowledge. So far I've covered the importance of hunger for knowledge. Hunger tells us to shut up, you know, shut up, listen, okay? Tells us, keep us from speaking too much, open our ears to even accept criticism, correction, and so on. And I've also shared how we might have lost this hunger for knowledge in the education process, and how with a growth mindset we can recover this hunger for knowledge. Lastly, I hope I've been convincing enough. I hope you have been listening, okay? And if you say, yeah, amen, now I want to learn. I'm now hungry for knowledge. I'm ready to listen, okay? Now, if you are here, then my last part of my sermon is I will share some tips on listening. Are you ready? You want to listen? Amen. Oh, okay. That's about the highest level of Jubilee enthusiasm already. Okay. So, tips on listening. All right. Proverbs 14 actually have four very interesting verses on listening. The mockers seek wisdom and find none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Mockers, fools, they try to find, cannot find. But discerning one can find. Why? Stay away from a fool, and you will not find knowledge from their lips. So telling you, hey, don't go and listen to fools. Next one, the simple believe anything, but the prudent will give thoughts to their steps. So don't just believe anything. Last one, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent will be crowned with knowledge. Now, these four proverbs from chapter 14 are quite interesting. They tell us a very simple truth, which is what? That you need discernment in your listening. Not everybody listen and they will learn one, okay? Of course, you say, I'm hungry for knowledge, I want to listen. Then everybody hungry, right? But how come some people hungry already become fools, some people hungry already become wise? How come, eh? So here's an important point, okay, what we can learn from chapter 14. Be hungry, but be picky at the same time. Hungry, but picky eater. Oh, you say, where got such thing? Hungry, but picky. I thought beggars cannot be choosers. No, be a beggar, but be a chooser. I'm reminded of this Perrier commercial from the 80s, so this tells you how old I am, okay? So the commercial goes like this, okay? There's a guy who is like,
crawling along in the desert. Okay, this guy is dying already, dying of thirst, crawling along in the desert. Crawling. Then somehow, this is a commercial. Crawling. Wow, he found a bar. Bar counter there. So he crawl to the bar counter. Then he asked to the bar counter, Perrier? then the bartender say, no Perrier. Then the man just crawl on. Wow. Then the tagline from the commercial appears, once you have discovered Perrier, nothing else do. That means you will only drink Perrier. So, and I guess this is what I'm trying to convey, right? The wise may be hungry, but he also makes sure that whatever he receives as knowledge, through his listening, they must be what? Quality knowledge, right? Okay? Don't just believe everything. Don't just, listen to everything. Make sure what you receive is quality knowledge. Discernment, you realize, is especially important in our world. Why? Because this information is just rampant. It's just everywhere. And even if sometimes they use facts, they use videos, we know that this can be manipulated to fit a false narrative, right? So it's dangerous. It's dangerous out there. So besides telling you that discernment is important, I've decided to also give you some tips of discernment, all right? So how can we be very discerning when we listen? There are five proverbs that I'll introduce now. These five proverbs are actually used during the judicial process. That means they teach you what you do in the court proceedings, how you can be a good judge, how you can make sure that those who are in injustice, they will be safe and so on. Okay? But I noticed that, these five proverbs, which is about the judicial process, they can be very useful in learning how to be discerning in our listening. So I say, maybe I'll use them as tips for you, all right? In a way, how when we learn and when we listen, we need to be as discerning as if we are in a courtroom. That is how discerning we need to be, all right? So now let me share with you the five tips. Now the first tip, I call it the judge tip, okay? Which is that you need to be an equitable listener. Proverbs 21 says, whoever shuts their ears to the cries of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Okay, so in the judicial process, we need to listen to everyone. Whether you're rich or you're poor, everybody gets a fair hearing. That's what being a good judge is. So this is a reminder that even though you might ask me, didn't you just tell me to be very picky, only Perrier, right? Only quality? And then how... Then now you tell me I must listen to everyone, right? What this means is that the judge tips tells us that we need to be unbiased in giving everybody a chance to prove themselves. Okay, yes, we must be picky, but we must give everybody a fair chance. Don't judge a book by its cover. Okay, where just as both the poor and the rich, they have an equal chance to, to a fair trial, in our listening is the same. We can learn from people from all walks of life. Sometimes when we can learn great things from children, right? Everybody, give everybody a fair chance, whether they seem successful or well-educated or not or whatever. Everybody, we might learn something from everyone. So the judge tip is to ensure fairness, that we do not prejudge in our listening. So that is the first one. Give everybody a fair chance, at least one chance. The second tip, I call it the prosecutor tip. Always stick to the truth. Proverbs 17 says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips, a liar pays attention to destructive tongue. So what this means is that wicked people tend to favor gossips and lies. Why? Because they work in their favor. Now, as I was listening to this, I realized that, I watch a lot of Korean drama. And in Korean drama, always got those prosecutors one, okay? And a lot of them, I'm not saying in Singapore, I'm not saying in real life, but apparently there can be a lot of corrupt prosecutors, all right? Anyway, that's Korean drama. But so I watch Korean dramas like Again My Life, but what I learned is this, okay? The good prosecutor, always stick to the truth. And not whatever information is that is favorable to them. I say again, the good prosecutor always stick to the truth and not just whatever information that is favorable to them. In short, don't just believe things that you are willing to hear. Don't just believe things that you wish that is the truth. No. Believe in the truth, not what you wish to be the truth. That is the key. This is especially important in this day and age. Why? Because you know that the social media only feeds you what you are more likely to click on, ma, right? That's what the social media is supposed to do. La. That's their business model. They just feed you what you're more likely to click on. And so you risk confining yourself to an echo chamber. That means you are just clicking what you want to see, clicking what you want to hear, and your learning becomes like an echo chamber. That is very dangerous. So why do I give you this prosecutor tip? To tell you to be wary of your own biases in your pursuit of the truth. Don't just listen what you want to listen. Don't just believe what you want to believe. Always stick to the truth and nothing but the truth. Third tip. I call it the defense lawyer tip. Ask probing questions. Proverbs 20 tells us that the purposes of a person's heart is like deep waters. But those with insight can draw them out. It's not easy lah, to believe what a person is really thinking, right? 知人知面不知心, right? So you do not know. It's like deep water. But those with insight can draw out the truth, right? So in a way, we need to be able to really probe, to ask the right questions. Proverbs 20 says, ears that hears and eyes that see, the Lord made them both. That means that it is God who allows, you know, eyes that can see, ears that can hear. A lot of people, their eyes and ears not working on, right? But only God makes eyes that can see, ears that can hear. True perception is a gift from God. And so the ability to really see clearly and, you know, listen carefully, this is something to be treasured, to be used. And we need to use this to what? To really draw out the depths of a person's heart, to really be able to attend faithfully to wisdom, to really draw out knowledge and learn. So the defense lawyer tip is to what? Ask probing questions. Draw out the real intents of the speakers so that you really know what you are learning. Okay? Fourth tip. I call it the defense witness tip. What is the defense witness? So let me read the proverb first. Proverbs 21 says, a false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify carefully. So what exactly is the defense witness? Now in a trial, okay, you always start with the plaintiff lah. Okay, so the plaintiff will open their case and then the plaintiff witnesses will go first. Okay, those people who bring the charge, bring the law case, right? So the plaintiff will go first. After that, it will be the defense turn. So the defense will open and then the defense witnesses will go on. Understand? So plaintiff, plaintiff's witnesses, then defense witnesses. Now what this proverb means is that if the plaintiff witnesses, they are lying, okay? Then because the plaintiff go first, right? So the plaintiff witnesses, if they are lying, then for the defense witnesses, if they have been carefully listening, what can they do? If they have been carefully, patiently listening to all these testimonies from the plaintiff, and then they spot the lies, when the defense witness it's time for them to testify, they will win the case. Why? Because they will spot all the lies that comes from the plaintiff. Everybody understand? Okay? Because he will be able to detect the witnesses and inconsistencies from the defense witnesses, the false witnesses from the plaintiffs, from the plaintiff witnesses, and then he's able to defeat them. So the defense witness tip is really to watch out for inconsistencies. We should have the same level of caution as a listener as well. Wherever you are listening, watching on video, reading on the internet, and so on, be careful. The defense witness tip is to watch out for inconsistency so that you can discern who are the liars and who is telling the truth in your learning process. Last one. I call it the jury tip. Always listen to both sides of a story. In Proverbs 18, it says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. What does it mean? Every time you hear for the first time, you say, yeah, seems to make sense. Until you hear the other side of the story, then you, okay. Now, So this proverb is a warning to hear both sides of a dispute before reaching a decision. That means don't jump into conclusions too fast. Why do you think this proverb is being written? Why do you tell you, hey, it seems right? Why? Because it's true, lah. Most of us are too quick to judge. So the jury tip is really straightforward, telling us don't be too quick to jump into conclusion. Always hear both sides of the story. So these are the five tips. Can we have the five tips? Five tips on how to become a very discerning listener, right? First, always be impartial. Give everybody a fair chance. Second one, don't just believe what you want to believe. Stick to the truth. Third one, always ask probing questions. Fourth, watch out for inconsistencies. Lastly, listen to both sides of the story. I wish you all the best in this journey for wisdom. Wow, become good discerning listeners. Always hungry for knowledge. Be hungry, but what? Yes, be hungry, but picky. Okay? How to be picky? Use these five tips I tell you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can come before you to learn to be wise. And we can only be wise if we listen well. Help us to have ears that can listen, eyes that can see, so that truly, Lord, we can live according to your good will. All this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.